Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water themselves knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves wine, the good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do whatever he tells you. That is what Mary said to Jesus after he said, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." Some have looked on Jesus' calling his mother woman in a rather negative way, because it sounds like the way some men might speak inappropriately to women. And as some might say, "Woman, get me a beer." How many of you ladies like that if your husband comes home and says that? "No, not at all. Get me that beer." There was a show when I was in college, about a guy that he'd come home from working and he'd yell, Edith, bring me a beer. Make me a sandwich." "Yes, Archie." And I used to think, if my father did that when he came home to my mother, I'd be a fatherless child. But anyway, I digress. "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." Jesus was speaking profoundly to his mother and calling her woman because he was referring to her in a high term that referred to Mary as the new Eve. Eve, the mother of all living. Eve, the mother who faithfully stood at the cross. Eve, the mother that he gave the beloved disciple. John, the beloved disciples who are you and me. "Woman, what has your concern for me? My hour has not yet come." What is this hour that he speaks of? He keeps speaking in the Gospel of John about an hour. The Son of God will be glorified in his hour. The Father will reveal his Son in the hour. The hour. The hour that Jesus speaks of is his cross. That is the hour of Jesus. And that is why we are here today. Because each and every time we come to this holy sacrifice of the Mass, we are trying very hard to enter into Jesus' hour, of Jesus' sacrifice on the altar of the cross, of Jesus' sacrifice upon the altar here. That is why the Mass is set up in such a way that it is a mystical revelation of realities that are heavenly and are earthly. The heavenly is the body and blood of Christ. forever in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, giving praise and glory to the Father through his sonship. And on earth, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the offering of ourselves in union with him, taken up in one divine hour to be the mystical body of Christ so that we can become children of God. Mary says, do whatever he tells you, and that is good advice for each and every one of us. In this case, she told the waiters that, and they did what Jesus told them. And they filled up those casks, those, what are they called, jars? Jars. I can never remember a simple word like jar. Give me something in Greek and I can remember it, but jars. Ceremonial washings, 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of wine. That's a lot of wine. 6 30-gallon jars. That's a lot of wine. And then they do this, and then Jesus says, draw some out and take it to the head waiter. And the head waiter speaks about the wine. Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior wine. I think a lot of us have had that experience, especially in larger groups. Not when you only have one or two do you have lots and lots of 30 gallons of wine. But you serve the good wine first. But it's a sign of the kingdom that the good wine is served last. And what does Jesus say oftentimes? The last will be first and the first will be last. That which is afterwards, like an afterthought in the eyes of the world, is what God proposes as being first. Jesus, suffering his death on the cross, is first. He's the first fruits of all who believe in the Father and who believe in the Son and who believe in the Holy Spirit. The first fruits are that which we receive. We receive his body and blood at this sacrifice of the Mass. He speaks of these things as the beginning of his signs. The structure of the book, the Gospel of John, it has the book of signs and then the book of glory. Jesus, in his first sign, performed this miracle at Cana in the presence of his mother. And his last sign is the raising of Lazarus. He goes through careful signs of his divinity. And at the end of this gospel, it says his disciples began to believe in him. They really, through watching him, through listening to him, to paying attention to the signs that he was performing, began to see in that little Jewish man something that was more than normal, that was greater than normal, something truly divine. And they began to believe in him as God from God, light from light, true God from true God. We enter into that belief when we profess our creed. We enter into that belief when we say, yes, Lord, I come to you today. I offer myself to you as you offer yourself to me. The divine and the human exchange that happens in the Mass is so magnificent that we almost cannot speak of it. It's an awesome reality that we have before our eyes Calvary. I was talking to Amanda and Tom before Mass, and I commented that I believe that the Orthodox really do liturgy well. They truly enter into the mystery of God. The Latin Rite has become very pared down in what are the minimums that we have to do in order to enter into the divine mystery. And then we should ask ourselves, is that really what we want to do? Pare down everything to the minimalistic way, the easiest thing, so that low Mass becomes our norm? I don't think so. I think people really need to enter into divine worship in concrete ways. We're incarnational. We're people that have bodies. We have realities that we can smell things. We can see things. We can taste things. We can feel things. All those sensory things help us to understand more and more that what we see at the Mass is God transforming himself into bread and wine that we eat so that we can be transformed into God in a substantial way, in a real way, so that when we go out of here, we have the heart and mind of Jesus. We have the heart and mind of those many gifts that St. Paul talks about to the Corinthians: faith, healing, mighty deeds, prophecy, discernment of spirit, varieties of tongues, interpretations of tongues, spiritual gifts, service, all those great gifts that God gives us, one and the same Spirit, one and the same God, working in and through us. We're called to be instruments of the peace of the Lord, of his goodness and his love. In that first book, not to ignore the prophet, for Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. The prophet is speaking at the end of his books. There were three books. This is Trito Isaiah. Isaiah saw from afar that there would be a day of vindication. Many times in our lives, we struggle through hardships. We struggle through perhaps unemployment. We struggle through widowhood. We struggle through all sorts of health issues. We see our family members struggling. We struggle through marriages that are not working real well. We struggle through watching our children do the wrong things. We struggle through this, that, and the other. And sometimes we might think that God does not care. That is not true. And the prophet Isaiah tells us that nations will behold your vindication. What's he talking about? He's talking about that 70 years that the people of Israel were captives and held as slaves in Babylon. When Cyrus the Great set them free, they thought of that Persian as their Messiah. They thought of him as the Messiah of the Jewish people who sent them back to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all the kings your glory. We, through our sufferings, through our entry into the mystery of the suffering hour of Jesus upon the cross, have accomplished the same things through him. We are able to look with faith, hope, and love at the situations in our lives and say, in all honesty, Lord, if you can do that for me, I can suffer this for you. That should be our hope. That should be our vindication. So that one day, when we stand before that awesome tribunal of the living God, when Jesus looks at us and says, what have you done? You can say, I've tried, Lord, to be your loyal son, your loyal daughter. I've tried. I came to Mass. I entered into this mystery in such a way that I can truly see your face. That I can see your face not only here, but in the faces of all the people around me. And I have worked with your gifts that you've given me, and I present them all to you as my sacrifice. God has called us through the gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.